This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, December 3rd, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. We have a lot to do today. We're going to start down in Baltimore, where you thought the Steelers, reeling off their 8-turnover loss to Cleveland last week, and with Charlie Batch still at quarterback, Roethlisberger was supposedly 50-50, but really couldn't throw the ball. He might be back next week. But the Steelers, after losing to the Ravens 2 weeks ago, losing to the Browns last week, and trotting Charlie Batch out there again, managed to somehow beat the Ravens in a gutty performance on the road, Steelers 23, Ravens 20. Now, this was fascinating. If you listen to Phil Simms on the national radio show on Yes with Mike Francesa, he said that he had spoken to Charlie Batch, and he knew Charlie Batch was better than how he had played the week before. You'll recall against the Browns, he threw three picks. Every running back the Steelers ran out there fumbled. Tomlin made some changes, not even dressing Mendenhall, who had been the number one back, who had fumbled the week before. But it was really the Charlie Batch show in terms of throwing the football. Sim said this guy can throw it a lot better than he threw it last week, and he was 100% right. Charlie Batch really was the catalyst for this victory. 25 for 36 for 276 yards, one touchdown, one interception. He had Mike Wallace in the back of the end zone wide open one time before the half, but missed him. He was wide open. But really, other than that and the pick, he played as good a game as you could play. It was a totally different guy. And look, I think it's a week of getting reps with the first team, but I think he really wasn't that prepared to come in and play. Big Ben, you know, doesn't miss a whole lot of games. But Batch certainly came back. This was obviously the biggest win of the year for the Steelers. They go to 7-5 instead of 6-6, which everyone expected the Ravens to beat the Steelers. The Ravens drop to 9-3. They drop out of that number two slot in the AFC as the Patriots won, clinch their division. They're in the number two spot now. Of course, the Patriots do have a couple of tough games coming up, but we'll get to the standings a little later. But yesterday, Steelers 23, Ravens 20. Ravens actually leading 20-13 going into the fourth quarter, but the Steelers score 10 unanswered. Again, the Steelers, really a team effort. Their defense was very good. Batch hit Heath Miller with a big 7-yard touchdown. Sean Sweezen made a 42-yard field goal literally at the buzzer, the last play of the game, and the Steelers escaped the Ravens with a 23-20 victory. Dwyer, 16 rushes for 49 yards for the Steelers. Redmond, 9 for 43. They did just enough. Miller, 5 receptions for 97 yards and a touchdown. Sanders, 5 for 60. Brown, 5 for 58. Wallace, 5 for 44. Again, Charlie Batch with 25 completions and only one pick. Flacco, 16 for 34. Not a good game for him. 188 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Ray Rice, 12 for 78 yards and a touchdown, a 34-yard touchdown. That was a great run to give them the lead, 20-13. Pierce had 8 rushes for 34. Bolden, 5 receptions for 61 yards and a touchdown. Leach, 4 for 40 out of the backfield. Smith, 3 for 33. But this was really a gutty win, one the Steelers desperately needed. The Bengals won to go to 7-5. You recall I picked three teams to make it out of that division, the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Bengals. Now the Colts, we'll get to them in a minute, are throwing a monkey wrench into that with an incredible win yesterday themselves. But the Steelers put themselves back in it at 7-5. Big Ben might come back next week. You might think they might take it easy now depending on how Roethlisberger is, because they did win this game against the Ravens, but probably nobody but the Steelers thought they would win. Right now, the Steelers do have the second wild card. They're ahead of the Bengals, who are also 7-5 because they beat the Bengals But don't forget the Bengals and the Steelers in the same division have one game left. So a huge win for the Steelers. The Ravens really could have put a lot of distance between them and also essentially or almost knocked the Steelers out of the playoff run. You don't want to play the Steelers in the playoffs if Roethlisberger is healthy with that excellent defense. Another unbelievable game. The Lions, their season on the line, playing the Colts, the surprise team of the NFL. But the Colts, on the final play of the game, Andrew Luck with four shots at the end zone. The Colts beat the Lions 35-33. Again, a last play of the game type of win. Detroit had taken the lead, but they left like a minute and 10 seconds for Luck, but he had to go down the field and throw a touchdown pass. And what happened was he took three shots at the end zone, first and goal, second and goal, third and goal. The fourth shot, the last play of the game, he was trying to throw something into the end zone, couldn't find anyone, wound up dumping it off to Donnie Avery, who had already caught a touchdown pass. He dumped it off to Avery on like the 8-yard line, and Avery was able to run in literally untouched on the last play of the game to win the game. Indianapolis 35, Detroit 33, and Andrew Luck will be the first to tell you he didn't have a great game, but he's got that ability to just move players down the field, move the team down the field in the clutchest situations, and that's exactly what he did yesterday. The Colts outscored the Lions 14-3 in the final quarter. The Lions up 30-21 going into the final quarter, but the Colts come back with a last-second amazing drive by Andrew Luck with a fourth down touchdown pass to Danny Avery, Avery's second of the game. Luck, what can you say? 24 for 54, obviously not a good game. 391, four touchdowns, three picks, but he got the job done when it counted. Ballard, nine rushes for 41 yards. Hilton, who's become a big-time receiver for them, six receptions for 100. Avery with those two touchdowns, five receptions for 91. Reggie Wayne, four for 51. Matt Stafford for the Lions, 27 for 46 for 313 yards, two TDs, one interception. Bell, seven rushes for 81 yards, came out of the game. LeSueur, 21 rushes for 57. Receiving, what can you say about Johnson? 13 receptions, 171 yards, one touchdown. Scheffler, three for 55. Pettigrew, three for 43 and a touchdown. But a gigantic win for the Colts. I think a season-ending loss for the Lions. They now have eight losses. The Colts move to 8-4, and they're in the lead by at least a game for the first wild card spot, so they could even drop off a little and still get the second wild card spot. But this was a game you could think that the Lions, trying to save their season, would beat the Colts, but then the Colts, again, with that last, literally last-minute drive, come back to win. Indianapolis 35, Detroit 33. Give this kid a lot of credit. He's as advertised as he leads the Colts to another victory. Another fascinating game, the Seahawks in Chicago to play the Bears. The Seahawks not great on the road. The Bears great at home. But nevertheless, Russell Wilson, he does an Andrew Luck, if you will. He drives them down the field in overtime. He drives them down the field first to get a long field goal to tie. And then he drives him down the field in overtime to hit Sidney Rice for a 13-yard touchdown pass to win the game in overtime. Seahawks 23, Bears 17. As you know, they don't kick the extra point in overtime. They do kick the extra point as they did in the Indianapolis game in regulation. Those are the rules. But Russell Wilson, who, you know, has made everyone forget Matt Flynn, who had killed it for the Packers in a few games, signed a big contract with Seattle and now isn't even talked about there. Wilson, 23 for 37 for 293 and two touchdowns. What he did, and with their ability to drive down the field, Golden Tate with a stunning 14-yard touchdown run, just an amazing catch and run by him if you saw it. Seattle, Zach Miller with his first touchdown. Just an amazing game as well. Now, Chicago with Cutler early on, hits Earl Bennett for a touchdown, hits Matt Forte for a touchdown, throws a 56-yard bomb to his favorite receiver, Marshall, and then Robbie Gould kicks a 46-yard field goal to tie it. But then in the overtime again, Russell Wilson has been unbelievable, and he drives them down the field. He actually ran, Russell Wilson did, for 3 first downs during that drive in overtime. And that was the difference, as he kept moving the chains, moving the chains, moving the chains, and then he was able to hit Sidney Rice. If you saw the replay, Rice took a tremendous hit and dropped the ball, but he had already crossed the plane. You know the rule. If you have the ball as you're crossing the plane, it doesn't matter if you fumble after. If you're going up for the ball in the end zone, obviously you have to maintain possession, come down with the ball. That was not, the latter was not the play. Rice caught it on like the 2, rolled in, and then got hammered right after he had scored. So they did review the play. You know the rule now, all touchdowns, all scoring plays are reviewed. But it did stand up as a touchdown. They had to wait for the announcement. But Seahawks 23, Bears 17, Seahawks 7-5, Bears 8-4. Again, a bunch of exciting games. Another interesting game yesterday, the Buccaneers in Denver to play the Broncos. Now, what can you say? Peyton Manning is the comeback player of the year. Some people are pitching him for MVP, and I think he has to be in the conversation. He actually hits his nose tackle, Mitch Onright, playing, obviously, an eligible receiver with a 1-yard touchdown pass. He scores from Peyton Manning. Manning hits Demaryius Thomas twice for touchdowns. Von Miller with a gigantic interception. He might be the defensive player of the year for Denver. Picks off Freeman and runs it back 26 yards for a touchdown. All, obviously, big scoring plays. Denver opens up a 31-10 lead. Tampa Bay comes back to make it 31-23. Dallas Clark catches a touchdown pass from Freeman, not Peyton Manning, of course. Clark now on Tampa Bay. But they really couldn't muster enough. Denver 31, Tampa Bay 23. Manning 27-38 for 242, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Moreno 20 rushes for 69 yards. Tammy 9 receptions for 89 yards. Thomas 8 for 99 yards. And those 2 touchdowns we talked about. Freeman a bad day, 18 for 39 for 242, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Martin was held in check, 18 rushes for 56 yards. Williams, 6 receptions for 93 yards and a touchdown for Tampa Bay. The Broncos now 9-3. Tampa Bay struggling, fighting for a wild card berth. They're now 6-6. We'll get to the standings in a bit. One more quick game before the break, a huge game. 49ers at the Rams, Rams season on the line. They had tied a few weeks ago. The Rams in overtime, 16, 49ers 13. Another interesting game because you know about Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick. Smith lost his job because of a concussion. The myth that you can't lose your job because of an injury in the NFL is just that, a myth. Clearly, San Francisco has decided Kaepernick, with a little more athletic ability, gives them a better chance to win. But yesterday, he gave them a much better chance to lose. San Francisco was winning 10-0. They had the ball on their own 17-yard line, snapped it to Kaepernick, who faded back, scrambling away, fading back, fading back. He literally scrambles into the end zone, where he then throws a pass, where he's called for intentional grounding. He must not have known the rule, or he didn't know where he was. This was a big mistake that would come back to haunt them, because then it makes it 10-2, i.e. a one-possession game. And then again, if you saw the game or the highlights, you know somehow an offensive coordinator called a pitch out when they were like on their own 7 or 8 yard line. Kaepernick pitches it out to the back and misses him by 2 yards. The Rams come in and pick it up on the 2 yard line, run it in, go for a 2-point conversion and get it. So you now have 10 points totally because of the quarterback. Now, Harbaugh, protecting his quarterback, said after the game that was a terrible play call, and he's right. But if you saw the pitch, I mean, he missed the guy by 2 yards. It wasn't even close. So obviously now in San Francisco, they'll be screaming for Alex Smith, who is sitting on the bench wondering, what the heck happened to me? I got a concussion. And you also see the underlying issue now when you see a player who doesn't report a concussion or says he's okay when he's not, or they don't really see him get dinged and don't see that he's got a problem. Those guys, there's no way they're coming out now, because they have a chance to lose. They have a chance to lose their starting position. Rams 16, 49ers 13. In overtime, the Rams have this great weapon, Greg Sirlin, who kicked a 53-yarder to force overtime and kicked a, after Akers missed a 51-yarder for San Francisco. He's having a bad year this year, Akers. He was automatic last year. Greg Sirlin then kicked a 54-yarder to win it after kicking a 53-yarder to tie it. Bradford, 26 for 39, 221, no touchdowns, no picks. Kaepernick, 21 for 32 for 208, no touchdowns, no pick. Kaepernick, their leading rusher, and that's what he can do, 9 rushes for 84. Crabtree, 7 receptions for 101 yards for the 49ers. For the Rams, Jackson, 21 rushes for 48. Bradford, 3 scrambles for 31. Givens, 11 receptions for 92 yards, and Jackson, 5 for 69 for the Rams. The Rams keep their season alive, 5-6-1. The 49ers now 8-3-1. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Good news, everyone. Lumber Liquidators wants to send you a free catalog of hardwood flooring options. Call 800-421-1346. See how you can buy the highest quality flooring for the lowest possible prices. Here's what some of our customers have to say.
I've installed a lot of hardwood floors, but this is the best bang for the buck.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
I love Lumber Liquidators. I got quality products for less, and the online ordering was easy.
At Lumber Liquidators, we buy direct from the mills, and we pass the savings on to you. Call right now and get the floor guide and catalog absolutely free. It has hundreds of top quality flooring such as solid hardwoods, laminates, bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a transferable 100-year warranty. Our catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to help you find the right floor for you. Call 800-421-1346 and get your free catalog. 800-421-1346. That's 800-421-1346.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Kallis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Kallis Show. We'll deal with the Chiefs now. By now, everybody knows Javon Belcher of the Chiefs shot his girlfriend, drove to the Chiefs training camp, spoke to his coach and his general manager, and then shot himself in front of Romeo Crennel and Scott Pioli. I mean, just unimaginable. Nobody knew anything, but apparently there were problems with he and his girlfriend. They had a 3-month daughter together. Apparently his girlfriend was out late at the concert, and Belcher was upset about that. Obviously, it's beyond belief. I mean, you just can't understand how these guys snap, and you sure wish if they're going to do it, they just do it to themselves and leave others out of it. Now you have an orphan, a 3-month-old orphan girl. I mean, it's just a disaster thing. The Chiefs decided to play the game, and look, the Chiefs are having a disaster season. This puts disaster, of course, in a whole new light. But at home, they do manage to beat the Panthers. Chiefs 27, Panthers 21. Brady Quinn 19 for 23 for 201 and two touchdowns. Cam Newton 15 for 27 for 232 and three touchdowns for the Panthers. You know, give the Chiefs credit. I mean, they came out, they won a game. I don't know if it'll save Romeo Crennel's job. They're now only 2-10. I certainly thought they would be better than that. But they do circle the wagons. They do come out and play an inspired game. They do get a win. Brady Quinn, both on the field and afterwards, expressing his own feelings and the feelings of the team. You know, they just didn't know. I wish I could have done something. I mean, he was very well-spoken and well-thought. You know, what he was saying was well thought out. But the Chiefs 27, Panthers 21 on the football field, the lost season for both teams. Panthers now 3-9. Off the field, obviously a total disaster for the Chiefs. They're going to have to deal with a funeral or two funerals now, and just a tragedy, especially for this poor woman who was murdered, Belcher's girlfriend. But Chiefs get the win 27-21. A few other big games, Vikings in Green Bay to play the Packers. Packers win at home 23-14. Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, 27 for 35 for 286. One touchdown, one interception. Morgan Burnett had two interceptions of Ponder, who has not had a good year. He does have Adrian Peterson, who was unbelievable, 21 rushes for 210 yards, including an 82-yard touchdown run. Again, with Peterson, the Vikings always have a chance. They were up 14-10 at the half, but the Packers shut them out in the second half, 13-0. Packers 23, Vikings 14. Ponder 12 for 25 for 119, one touchdown in those two Morgan Burnett picks. Starks 15 rushes for 66 yards and a touchdown, getting a beautiful 22-yard rushing touchdown off the right side, which was the Green Bay's first rushing touchdown in 2 months. Give that a little thought. Green 12 for 58. Cobb 6 receptions for 62 yards. Finley 6 receptions for 60 yards. Jennings 4. For 46. As we said, Peterson 21 rushes for 210 yards and a touchdown. Rudolph 6 receptions for 51 and a touchdown. After that, the only receiver with more than one catch was Simpson, 2 for 25. Don't know if Ponder is the answer in Minnesota, because if you have a guy like Adrian Peterson running and you're putting up these kinds of numbers, well, frankly, that's a problem. I mean, Peterson might be the best running back in the game. I think he is. He totally come back from that knee injury, which is, I think, a minor miracle. But Green Bay gets the win at home. Green Bay now 8-4. The Vikings hanging around the playoff race, but they drop to 6-6. Another big game. The Bengals are on a roll. This is the game that we gave you on Friday, Bengals minus 1.5. Bengals beat the Chargers 20-13. The Chargers just cannot get out of their own way. We're playing down to the end of Norv Turner and Phillip Rivers. I don't think they're getting rid of Rivers, but I think they are getting rid of Norv Turner, who's been there a long time and won a lot of games and made rushes to the playoffs, but really, frankly, has just not made any noise. I mean, they just haven't. So the Bengals, with a huge win, they're back in the playoff hunt. They're 7-5. They don't have the second spot, as we discussed, the second wild card in the AFC, because the Steelers have already beaten them, but they still have to play again. So that could change. The Bengals have now won 5 in a row, including that thrashing of the Giants, who everybody thinks is the best or one of the best teams in football. So the Bengals are for real. Again, I picked 3 teams from that division to make the playoffs. I don't know if that'll happen because of the Colts, but yesterday, Dalton 25 for 39, 211 yards, one touchdown, two picks. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis had a big day, 25 rushes for 118 yards. He was the workhorse of the Patriots. Now he's the workhorse of the Bengals. Patriots obviously have opted for more speed in their running attack. A.J. Green, what can you say? One of the best wide receivers, 9 receptions for 85 yards. Gresham 4 for 35 and a touchdown. Hawkins 5 for 47. Rivers 26 for 48 for 280, no touchdowns, one pick, but that was on the final play, you know, fourth down trying to tie up the game. He threw it into the end zone. It got picked off, so you got to throw it into the end zone on the last play on fourth down in the final minute. Matthews, 9 rushes for 26 yards. They can't amount. They can't rush at all now that the Chargers. Alexander, 6 for 102, having a heck of a year. Gates, 6 for 49. Floyd, 4 for 61. But again, no touchdown passes for Phillip Rivers. Bengals, 20. Chargers, 13. Bengals moved to 7-5, tied with the Steelers record-wise, just out of the second wild card berth. Chargers dropped to 4-8, and again, their season is over. I think, again, it's only a matter of time until North Turner gets fired, probably end of the season. The Texans, what can you say, 11-1. They're going to New England next week. That'll be an interesting game. But the Texans beat the Titans yesterday in workmanlike fashion, 24-10, 14-3 at the quarter, 21-3 at the half. You know, really not a game. Matt Schaub, 21 for 35, 207, two TDs. Arian Foster with his 13th rushing touchdown of the year. He leads the NFL in rushing touchdowns with 13. Texans 24, Titans 10. Texans 11-1. Titans drop to 4-8. Last night in Dallas, Cowboys in a must-win situation to save their season. They beat the hapless Eagles. Hard to believe I'm saying the hapless Eagles, but that's what they are. Cowboys outscore the Eagles 21-9 in Dallas for a come-from-behind 38-33 victory. Tony Romo, 22 for 27 for 303 and three touchdowns. Obviously, they're just so explosive. Romo hit Dez Bryant for two touchdowns. Bryant had one that was a 21-yard brilliant catch and run. Cowboys 38, Eagles 33. Bryce Brown, the now star rookie who had 198 yards last week, he scored two touchdowns, but there was a big fumble that he fumbled. It was picked up and returned by the Cowboys for a touchdown. That was a turning point. Brown did rush 24 times for 169 yards. He's unbelievable. 198 last week, 169 this week, and two touchdowns. Foles played well, 22 for 34 for 251 and a touchdown. Murray for Dallas, 23 rushes for 83 yards and a touchdown. And Witten for Dallas, 6 receptions for 108 yards. Cowboys 38, Eagles 33. Cowboys still in the mix at 6-6. Eagles well out of it at 3-9. A few other games we'll get to quickly. The Patriots did what the Patriots do. They beat the Dolphins in Miami 23-16. They clinched the AFC East again. And again, whenever you think someone's going to jump up and challenge the Patriots, it just doesn't happen. The Jets have been a disaster. We'll get to them. Buffalo has been up and down. Miami looked for a while there that maybe, but not anymore. Patriots 23. Dolphins 16, Patriots up 17-10 at the half. Always ahead. The Dolphins just couldn't get over the hump against the Patriots. No shock there. Tom Brady 24 for 40 for 238, one touchdown, one pick. Tannehill 13 for 29 for 186. Ridley with New England rushing game, 19 rushes for 71 yards and a touchdown. Welker, what can you say, 12 receptions for 103 yards and a touchdown. Patriots are just too tough, 9-3. They go to Houston to play the Texans next week. And then I think they have the 49ers up in New England the week after. Those are their two tough games. But as we talked, they were going to run this table to be 9-3. And sure enough, they've clinched the division by then. Dolphins drop to 5-7. In maybe the worst offensive game in years, and I watched all of it, unfortunately. Cardinals at the Meadowlands to play the Jets. The Boo Bird's out early. Sanchez, the first pass he throws, intercepted. Sanchez, I think he threw 12 passes in the first half. Three of them were intercepted. The Cardinals were winning 3-0 at the half. Ryan Lindley, who Arizona decided to start over John Skelton, went 10 for 31 for 72 yards and an interception. Kerry Rhodes picks off Sanchez twice. Patrick Peterson picks off Sanchez with an unbelievable play. And eventually, Rex Ryan finally decides to go to McElroy, his number three third string quarterback, because Tebow is still out with that cracked rib or whatever he has. McElroy comes in, drives the Jets down the field, throws a one-yard touchdown pass, literally a wide-open one-yard touchdown pass to Jeff Cumberland. So Greg McElroy does what Sanchez couldn't do, scores one touchdown, and the Jets' defense and the woeful Cardinals' offense has it hold up. Jets 7, Cardinals 6. Now, the talk in New York is the Jets starting yesterday had a very easy schedule. They can run the table and be 9-7. I don't even think that'll get them in the playoffs, and I don't think they're going to run the table. But, of course, the big talk in New York now is who you actually have a three-way quarterback controversy now. If Tebow gets healthy enough to possibly play, Sanchez could not have played worse. 10 for 21 for 97 yards and three picks. I mean, you know, Rex Ryan even said afterwards, he goes, at some point you keep watching, you keep hoping, you keep watching, and then you just have to make a change. You don't have a choice. And obviously it's not something that he wanted to do, but I think the view in Jetland is we can win these last five games. We were losing 3-0 after three quarters to the Cardinals. The over-under in that game was 35.5 or 36.5, I want to say. It would have taken them 10 quarters to score 36 points, I think. But he makes the change. McElroy wasn't spectacular, but got them in the end zone. That means a win. Jets 7, Cardinals 6. The Cardinals are worse than the Jets. They were 4-0. They've now lost 8 in a row. And they're going to Seattle next week, so that's a problem. The Jets now 5-7, clinging to a miracle that they can win their last four. They are at Jacksonville next week. Obviously a winnable game. But the big news in New York now is it's not a two-way quarterback controversy. It's a three-way. Who are you going to start next week? Are you going to bring Sanchez back after about as bad a performance as you can have? Well, if you think he's your quarterback of the future, this is his fourth year in the league. If anything, he's regressed last year and this year. Then you got to start him. But can Greg McElroy play? Well, he did okay yesterday. And can Tim Tebow really run a team? Well, the answer would be he did it with Denver. It wasn't pretty, but he won games. And don't forget he beat the Steelers in a playoff game. Everyone seems to forget that. He threw for 300 yards against the Steelers. And I'm not saying he's the answer. I'm just saying if you watch Sanchez these last 2 years, he doesn't appear to be the answer. So we'll just have to see what happens there. A couple of other games quickly, not really meaningful. The Bills bury the Jaguars in Buffalo. Bills 34, Jaguars 18. Now, the Bills have the same record as the Jets, so do you say they have as good a chance? Well, their schedule isn't quite as easy as the Jets. They are in St. Louis to play the Rams, who are a good team, next week. But you know, they probably say, well, the Jets beat the Rams, so we can beat the Rams, which is true. Bills 34, Jaguars 18. Fitzpatrick only 9 for 17, didn't throw the ball much, obviously, 112 yards and two touchdowns. But Jackson rushed 25 times for 109 yards. Chad Henne, who was playing well for Jacksonville, but not yesterday, 18 for 41 for 208, one touchdown. Bills moved to 5-7, Jaguars dropped to 2-10. Bills 34, Jaguars 18. One other game to get to from yesterday. The Browns, off that beating of the Steelers, keep going, and they beat the Raiders in Oakland on the road. Browns 20, Raiders 17. I thought the Browns would be better. They played a lot of close games. But they're 4-8 now. They're at Kansas City next week. The Raiders dropped to 3-9, and they have to go to Denver, so that's a problem. Whedon, 25 for 36 for 364 yards and a touchdown. Palmer, you know, again, if you throw it in the 50s, that usually means you're losing. Carson Palmer, 34 for 54 for 351, two TDs and a loss. Trent Richardson, 20 rushes for 72 yards and a TD. Gordon for Cleveland, 6 receptions for 116 yards and a TD. Myers for Oakland, 14 receptions for 130 yards and a touchdown. Browns 20, Oakland 17. Of course, the big game tonight, Giants against the Redskins down at FedEx Field. This is a huge game, obviously, for both teams. The Redskins trying to save their season. The Giants trying to put more distance between themselves and the Redskins and the Cowboys. RG3 almost won that game, you'll recall. They took the lead very late, but Manning hit Victor Cruz with that 77-yard touchdown pass to win the game. But don't forget, the Redskins beat the Giants twice last year when the Giants won the Super Bowl, and the Redskins are playing at home, and the Redskins' season is on the line. If the Giants lose, they're still a game up on the Redskins, and Dallas after beating the Packers last week in the game everybody thought the Giants would lose. So the Giants usually rise to the occasion. This will be a fascinating game. That's your Monday night game, Giants at Redskins. We'll get to the TV a little later. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Good news, everyone. Lumber Liquidators wants to send you a free catalog of hardwood flooring options. Call 800-421-1346. See how you can buy the highest quality flooring for the lowest possible prices. Here's what some of our customers have to say.
I've installed a lot of hardwood floors, but this is the best bang for the buck.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
I love Lumber Liquidators. I got quality products for less, and the online ordering was easy.
At Lumber Liquidators, we buy direct from the mills, and we pass the savings on to you. Call right now and get the floor guide and catalog absolutely free. It has hundreds of top quality flooring such as solid hardwoods, laminates, bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a transferable 100-year warranty. Our catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to help you find the right floor for you. Call 800-421-1346 and get your free catalog. 800-421-1346. That's 800-421-1346.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Show. Let's go quickly to the NFL standings in the AFC. Houston, obviously, with the best record, 11-1. Believe it or not, they've only clinched a wild card berth because they have to play the Colts twice, so at least in theory the Colts could move ahead of them. Unlikely, but they could in theory. Patriots, the number two seed now in the AFC, they've actually clinched the AFC East. They're 9-3. Baltimore in that third spot, 9-3. Denver in that fourth spot, they're 9-3 as well. Denver has clinched their division, as again have the Patriots. Right now, the two wild card teams, we talked about the Colts at 8-4 and the Steelers at 7-5. And just on the outside is the Bengals, 7-5. Believe it or not, the Jets are right behind them with Buffalo and Miami, all three at 5-7. But realistically, the Jets are not playing well. The Bills are not playing well. The Dolphins are not playing well. So it's looking like there's going to be one team out of the Colts, Steelers, and Bengals. And, you know, it's very interesting. At the Colts' loss yesterday, there would have been a three-way tie. But I don't know who the odd team out is going to be. The Bengals are playing great. The Steelers had that big win. The Colts had an unbelievable win. But I don't think the Jets, the Bills, the Dolphins, again, the Jets hope they can win their last four, and they do have a chance. I don't know who's going to play quarterback, but they do have a chance. And at 9-7, maybe that'll get the second wild card in the AFC. In the NFC, The Falcons have already clinched their division. They're 11-1. The 49ers, now 8-3-1 after that overtime loss. They're the number two seed. The Packers are 8-4. The Giants, 7-4, play the Redskins tonight. The Bears have the first wild card at 8-4. The Seahawks have the second wild card at 7-5. Then you have the Cowboys, Bucks, Vikings, all 6-6. You have the Rams, 5-6-1. You have the Redskins, 5-6, trying to get into that 6-6 grouping, which would only be a game out. And don't forget, if they can beat the Giants, then the Redskins and the Cowboys are only a game behind the Giants for the division. Then when you get to the 5-7 New Orleans Saints, I think they're out of it. The Lions, Cardinals with 8 losses gone. Carolina, 9 losses. Philly with 9 losses. I think they're gone as well. So that's your NFL. Obviously a huge game tonight for both teams as the Giants go down to FedEx Field to play the Washington Redskins. Only 2 games in the NBA last night, but one fascinating game that got lost in the shuffle because it was on, you know, on an NFL day. What can you say? The Magic go into Los Angeles to play the Lakers. Dwight Howard facing his old teammates for the first time. The Magic have not been good all year. The Lakers have just been okay since D'Antoni came on. Lakers up 4 after 3 quarters playing at home. You think the game is over, and then Jacques Vaughn, the new coach of Orlando. Only 5 guys on Orlando played with Dwight Howard last year. That's how big the turnover has been. They fired Stan Van Gundy as coach, obviously. But Jacques Vaughn decided to go hack a shack, which is going to happen to Dwight Howard a lot this year. And they just fouled him and put him on the line a lot in the second half. He winds up shooting 9-for-21 from the foul line, 6-for-13 from the floor, 9-for-21 from the foul line. And Orlando outscores the Lakers 40-26. 2 big threes by Jameer Nelson late. Magic 113, the Lakers 103. Howard after the game said, quote, it was an emotional close quote, and maybe that was part of the problem. Howard goes for 21 and 15 rebounds, but it's not enough. Magic 113, Lakers 103. Aaron Aflalo with 30 points. Big Baby Davis, 23 points, 12 rebounds. I mean, what can you say? The Magic aren't that good, but it must have been a sweet victory for them yesterday as they beat the Lakers. And look, D'Antoni is like flabbergasted after the game. He really doesn't know so far what to do, what to say. I mean, the Lakers have been a big disappointment. Now, it's the old, they don't have Steve Nash, and, you know, he's, at least in my view, I picked the Lakers to win the championship. He's obviously a big part of what they're going to do, but you're at home against the Orlando Magic up 4-3. You got to win that game. Kobe 1-for-34, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. He's Kobe, but he couldn't get them the win. Meta World Peace with 15 and 5 rebounds. Gasol 11.7 rebounds. You know, what can you say? Even Anton Jameson with 10 points off the bench, but it's not enough. They really don't have much of a bench, the Lakers. Again, no Nash, so maybe you can forgive this, but the Lakers are now 8-9. They're 3-4 under Mike D'Antoni. He said after the game he thought his team was overconfident, which he's probably right. They were up 4 after 3 quarters. How are they going to lose? But they did lose, and they lost by 10. Dwight Howard was 7-for-14 from the free throw line in the fourth quarter, so clearly they just put him on the line. He missed half his shots. He was 9-for-21 overall, 46% from the free throw line for the season, and that's the lowest of his never-good career. I think the highest he ever was 60%. So the Lakers now 8-9 overall, 3-4 with D'Antoni. Again, no Steve Nash, but the Magic beat the Lakers in the first time Dwight Howard plays his old team. Magic 113, Lakers 103. The other game yesterday, the Knicks at home at the Garden, a 12 noon start, because you could actually watch that game, or at least the first half, three quarters before the football started. The Knicks beating teams they should beat, which is something they couldn't do last year. But yesterday, Knicks 106, Phoenix 99. The Knicks moved to 12-4. Phoenix drops to 7-11. Carmelo Anthony, 34 points, 6 rebounds. Felton, the point guard, 23 points, 7 assists. Chandler, 15 points, 13 rebounds. They do what they do. Steve Novak, 12 points off the bench. The Knicks are a good team. They're not a championship team, but they're a good team, and they're beating the teams that they should beat, which, again, is something they have not been able to do the last few years. The Suns, not a very good team, dropped to 7-11. Gortat, their center, who's pretty good, 18 points, 10 rebounds. But that was really it for them. Brown had 17. Tucker and Dudley off the bench both had 10. Telfair off the bench had 11. But the Suns aren't going anywhere. The West is a little tougher than the East. Knicks 106. Suns 99. Want to look quickly at the football. I'm sure you know all the scores by now, but obviously the big game on Saturday. Alabama beats Georgia in Atlanta for the SEC championship and a berth against Notre Dame in the January 7th bowl for everything. Alabama 32, Georgia 28. Alabama moves to 12-1, Georgia moves to 11-2. Now, if you saw the end of this game, it was pretty interesting, actually, because Georgia was winning, and then A.J. McCarron threw a 45-yard touchdown pass to Amari Cooper. McCarron 13 for 21 for 162 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Cooper with seven receptions for 127 yards. But where Alabama really killed Georgia and where they're going to try and kill Notre Dame is on the ground. I mean, they've got two backs, Alabama does, who are just, you know, they're just unbelievable. Lacey, 20 rushes for 181 yards and two touchdowns. Yeldon, 25 rushes for 153 yards. And one touchdown, that's 334 yards and 45 carries between the two of them. And they just ran all over Georgia. But Georgia had the lead. Alabama took it back late. And then Georgia driving down the field, didn't have any timeouts left. Aaron Murray went back to throw, was trying to throw a fade into the end zone. So if it was incomplete, they'd have one more play. But the ball was tipped. And Chris Conley, I don't know if you can blame him or not, but Chris Conley made a nice catch on the ball, but in the middle of the field for a 4-yard gain to the 4-yard line. And then, of course, had no timeouts. They didn't have time to spike the ball, and the clock ran out. Some people thought they should have spiked it before that play, but I disagree. If he had thrown the ball into the end zone, now again, it was tipped and caught. So if it's not tipped, it's into the end zone. One way or the other, you'd get another play if it's not caught for a touchdown or not intercepted. Conley made a mistake. Again, I don't know if you can hold the kid responsible. You're taught to catch the ball. You'd have to have an incredibly high football IQ. It would have been obviously better had he dropped it, because then Georgia would have had one more shot at the end zone. That doesn't mean they were going to score. But Alabama 32, Georgia 28. This sets up January 7th, down in Miami, Alabama against Notre Dame for the national championship. Notre Dame, the only undefeated team eligible. Ohio State was undefeated but not eligible to play in this game. Would have been interesting if Ohio State, it would have been Ohio State and Notre Dame, both 12-0 maybe, and then Alabama would have been on the outside looking in. Instead, Alabama, I think, has already been installed, I want to say, an 8-point favorite. But, you know, they've shown... You know, they lost to Johnny Football. They easily could have lost to Georgia Saturday. They didn't, give them credit. But Alabama and Notre Dame for the national championship. A lot of screaming and yelling now that Northern Illinois, they won the MAC, they beat Kent State, that Northern Illinois is in the BCS bowl. And I understand what they're saying, and if you break it down analytically, that's correct. But I don't know if it's a big deal for a team like a Northern Illinois to get into a BCS bowl game. Plus, the BCS is ending soon. You're going to have that 14 playoff in a couple of years. Are there a lot of teams better than Northern Illinois not in a BCS bowl? Yeah, absolutely. Northern Illinois lost to Iowa. Iowa was one of the worst teams in the Big Ten, and the Big Ten was terrible this year. But I don't think it's such a hard thing to let a team like a Northern Illinois have one of those dreams of playing. You know, we'll see if they get blown out or not, but to have one of those teams, you know, you give a BCS bowl bid automatically to the Big East winner, that's Louisville this year. I don't even think they're ranked. So, you know, you can argue about that, but you're arguing about the 13th or 14th or 12th team in the country. And I don't really think it's that big a deal, although I will say the college football purist, Kirk Herbstreit, for example, on ESPN, screaming and yelling, this is a joke. I can't believe we're even having this kind of conversation. You know, just stuff like that. And Herbstreit, you know, he's a pretty bright guy, so I take nothing away from him, and he's angered by it. But I don't really think it's that big a deal. I like to see these little schools once in a while get in. So we'll just have to see what happens. We'll see how they perform. Now, there's a bunch of other ball games. I don't know how interested anybody really, really is in them. But the big game, Alabama-Notre Dame, is January 7th down in Miami. But there are a bunch of other, I'll say, interesting games. Oklahoma and Texas A&M in the Cotton Bowl at Cowboy Stadium, Friday, January 4th. Oklahoma against Johnny Football, who should win the Heisman. Kansas State against Oregon, that's going to be a very good game. That's the Fiesta Bowl in Glendale, Arizona. That's on January 3rd, Thursday at 8:30. Florida against Louisville, again, I think it's going to be a slaughter. You're talking about Northern Illinois. Now, Northern Illinois is playing Florida State down in Florida, so that's not looking too good for Northern Illinois. But Florida is playing Louisville in Louisiana. That's not looking too good for Louisville. So a lot of these games, you know, how about the Rose Bowl? Used to be one of the greatest games of all time, Stanford against Wisconsin. Wisconsin has five losses, but they slaughtered Nebraska 70-31 to win the Big Ten, 70-31. They rushed for, like, I think it was 539 yards. So you do have some interesting games. Michigan against South Carolina in the Outback Bowl in Tampa on January 1st. That's an interesting game. Georgia against Nebraska is a nice game. I mean, you do have a lot of nice games, but I think there's only one that anyone cares about this year, and that's Alabama and Notre Dame. That's on a Monday night. You know, the ratings will be off the charts there. That's Monday, January 7th in Miami. And, you know, we'll talk about that game, obviously, before it happens. Certainly, I still like Alabama. You know, the whole 5 or 6 week differential now is absurd. It's always been like this. It's always been stupid. They want to dominate that New Year's. It used to be New Year's Day, if you recall, years ago. They played all the bowl games on New Year's Day, which was stupid forever. You know, you literally had bowl games going up against each other on TV, so that was beyond stupid. But they now spread them out, which is intelligent. But I think other than fans of the specific teams, the only game anyone really cares about is Alabama against Notre Dame. You can make an argument they had at least a Georgia, had there been a four-team playoff, Georgia-Alabama probably would have been one of the two games anyway. So it was kind of like a national semifinal on Saturday where Alabama just did get out of there with a victory. And now Alabama will play January 7th against Notre Dame. I like Alabama. We'll have to see what the points are. I don't know about point spreads in college games, but they do have them. So Alabama and Notre Dame for the national championship. Again, that'll be on Monday night, a Monday night game on January 7th, 2013. College basketball yesterday. Number 2 Duke, again, it's this time of year, although there was one big upset. Number 2 Duke buries Delaware 88-50. Louisville just got by Illinois State. I picked Louisville to win it all. They have not been that impressive, but again, it's early in the season. Patino's teams get better. By the end of the year, they'll be a better team. 69-66, they beat Illinois State. I think you have to worry about Kentucky now. It's Baylor, a good team. Baylor beats Kentucky in Kentucky, which like never happens. Baylor 64, Kentucky now ranked 8th, but will be dropping 55. Now, they're very young, but maybe Calipari hasn't reloaded like he normally reloads. So Kentucky, the only top 10 team yesterday to be upset. As I said, Louisville squeaks by Illinois State. Duke hammers Delaware. Michigan beats Bradley. Number 3, Michigan beats Bradley 74-66. Ohio State beats Norse 70-43. Indiana beats Coppin State, number 1 Indiana. Ohio State's number 4. Indiana 87, Coppin State 51. Number 9 Arizona hammers Texas Tech 85-57. Those are your top 10 teams that were in action yesterday. Again, it's early. You don't have many really high-quality games. Some of these, you know, the ACC Big Ten Challenge, blah, 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 that was fine. But Kentucky does get beat again yesterday. They're now 4-3, so Calipari can't be a happy man. Quickly in golf, Graham McDowell won out in Thousand Oaks, California, in a tournament where reportedly Tiger Woods had to put up $4 million to make the tournament go off, and he did do that, the World Challenge. McDowell beat Keegan Bradley, who finished second by 3 shots. Tiger Woods tied for fourth, 8 shots back. But just the notion now that you can have an individual golfer lay out $4 million to have a tournament go forward was kind of interesting to me. One other thing, the National Hockey League today is the 79th day of the lockout, but apparently the players and the owners are going to meet in New York City without Gary Bettman, without the union boss Donald Fair, who used to be with the baseball players, of course. So the owners and the players are going to try and sit down and work something out. Hopefully they can get something out. I mean, it's just terrible that there's no hockey. And hockey as the number four major sport, and a lot of people would even dispute that they're the number four major sport, really can't afford this like a football lockout could, or even a baseball or a basketball lockout. Hockey, especially in the U.S., and I love hockey, it's just not that popular. They really need to get on the ice and start playing. TV tonight. Really only one game in town, Giants at Redskins, 8:30 Eastern, ESPN, national game, huge game in the NFC East. I think a bigger game for the Redskins than the Giants. The Giants can really get some separation if they win. The Redskins put themselves one game behind the Giants, and Dallas will be one game behind the Giants if the Redskins can win the game. I'm a Giants guy, but I think RG3 down in Washington after almost beating them in New York is just going to be too tough. But it'll be a great game to watch. Giants, Redskins, 8:30 Eastern, ESPN nationally. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.